Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew chapter 25, we'll start in verse 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to another one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." How many know the Lord has got things for us to do in the earth? He don't want us just existing down here. Just existing down here. He wants us living for his purposes, for his plan. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us callings. And there's things that you and I are to do. And then there's a day come when he's going to come back. And he's going to talk about what we have done. And it says in verse 19, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will now cause you to retire and sit on clouds of heaven and sip virgin pina coladas throughout all eternity. Your retirement has finally come.'" Is that what he said? No. What did he say? He said, "You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of the Lord." Enter into his joy. Enter into his kingdom, into heaven. You know, he's talking about heaven here. And notice, he said, "I'm going to make you a ruler over much, over many things." So what you've done down here has only set you up for what I have for you to do over there. Verse 22. "He also had received two talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me two talents. I have gained two more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you. How many people are looking for the Lord to say these words to you? And why is this written in the Word of God? For us to learn from and understand, this is what he wants to say to you and I on that day when he returns, when we see him, when we stand before him. We see him face to face. He's given us some insight on some things that are going to happen. And he says, if you're faithful with what's down here, and how people know what we do down here is little in comparison to what's going to happen over there. Everything down here is little in comparison to what's going on over there in heaven, right? And he says, if you're faithful, you'll be ruler. You'll be ruler over many things, over a lot of things. You are faithful over a few things, now be ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Again, for some more insight into what it's going to be like in heaven, go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. How many people know we're not supposed to be just living our life on this earth for this earth? Can I get a witness? We're not to be living our life on this earth just for this earth. We're to be living our life for the kingdom of God. In other words, for our King and our God. He is our King. Jesus is our King. God the Father is our God. We're to be living our life for him. So as rulers, we are ruling for him. We're not tyrants. We're not dictators looking to build our own kingdom draw people to us. We're looking to rule and reign for him. Male, female, it don't matter. If you're faithful. If you're faithful, what he's given you to do on the earth, that's what he has for you to do in heaven. And if there's any kind of doubt about it, a doubt in your mind that you will rule with him, then now's the time to get that adjusted. And just determine in your heart by faith, bless God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. When I get to heaven, bless God, I'm going to enter into the joy of the Lord and be called faithful. And I'm going to rule with him. I'm going to rule with him. I said I'm going to rule with him. How am I going to rule with him? Revelations chapter 1. Actually, go to chapter 5 first. Over in verse 9, talking about those around the throne of God. Here they are saying in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, so they got songs up in heaven. They're singing up in heaven. They sang a new song. You are worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. They're talking about Jesus. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. See, the day's coming where Jesus is coming back. He's coming back with those that lived their life faithfully down here on the earth. He's coming back riding on a white horse, the Bible tells us. And all the armies of heaven are going to be with him. You know, if you're a fighter, if you're one of those that are fighting the good fight of faith, you're not living in the flesh, but you're fighting the good fight of faith. You're waging a good warfare spiritually. Then you'll be a part of the armies of heaven when he returns. You'll be a part of that army. Bless God. Hallelujah. I believe I got a nice white horse waiting for me. They're getting that horse all groomed and ready. And we're going to come back with the Lord. See, we're going to pass from this life, go on into heaven. And then Jesus is coming back at the end to take the devil and his bunch and all of hell and cast it in the lake of fire. And then he's going to establish his kingdom here on the earth like he originally planned it to be when he gave man dominion over the earth in the beginning. And so we are going to reign on the earth with him for eternity. With our king. And we're going to be kings and priests ourselves. Rulers ourselves. He's made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. And who's saying this? Those that are in heaven. Those that are around his throne. They're worshiping him. Saying, you have made us kings and you have made us priests. I want to make sure that I get a up close seat by the throne of God. Don't you? I mean, just being there is going to be great. But man, I want to get up close. How we live is going to affect our positioning in heaven. How we live is going to affect our authority in heaven. How we live our life is going to affect life in heaven for us. So it is imperative that we live our life by faith, according to the word of God, that we follow him and that we are faithful, faithful, full of faith, faithful to him, faithful to the word of God. Back in chapter 1 and in verse 5, he says, this is John writing, the apostle John. Verse 4, actually, let's go to verse 4. John, to the seven churches which were in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice that word dominion. Absolute rule and authority. It is to be forever and ever and ever. So God has a kingdom, and it is a kingdom that endures forever. There is authority, there is dominion in this kingdom. So throughout all eternity, he will need rulers. There's folks he wants to delegate authority to. There's folks he wants to work through in order to govern and run his kingdom. Over in Corinthians, the Bible says, do you not know that the saints will judge angels? That's pretty intense. How many of you know angels have been around a lot longer than us? And yet he said the saints, and what is he talking about? He's talking about those that live faithful. Those that live their life to the full in this life according to God's plan, according to his word. He says these folks will stand in such a place of authority that angels will come to them for judgment. We will judge angels. Over the book of Job, it talks about how angels can make mistakes. They can be charged with error. I think it's Job chapter 5, somewhere around there, maybe chapter 4, I'm not sure exactly where. But where they can be charged with error. See, they're not perfect. We're all a work in progress. All of God's creation is a work in progress. You and I are going to be growing and developing to be more and more like him throughout all eternity. It's going to take forever to be like him. But we're going to keep growing and developing and learning. He's going to continue to reveal things to us. You know, there's even going to be some really good preaching going on in heaven. I believe I'm going to be able to go on and continue to preach. You know, people need to hear the word in heaven and in earth. People need to hear the word of God, and there's going to be preaching going on. There are books in heaven. We read about that in the book of Revelation. There's all kinds of books in heaven. So it's so much like earth, except take away the death, take away the darkness, take away all the evil, take away all the corruption. But this is what you and I have to look forward to throughout all eternity, to be rulers. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to rule with him? So that's what he's training us to do now. He's teaching us now. We need to learn how to exercise authority in this life. And so he talks about this over in James. James chapter 4. James the 4th chapter. And in verse 6. James 4, 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice that. Submit to God, resist the devil. Thank God Jesus came and gave us authority over the devil. We have authority over him. In fact, Jesus said over in Mark 16, right after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. He told them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. But these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will cast out demons in my name. See, in the name of Jesus, we have authority over the devil. And how many people know the devil is the root of all our problems? Yeah, Ephesians tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. A lot of times it seems like people are the problem, but people are not the problem according to the word of God. We've got a devil problem in this world. But the devil problem really isn't a problem for us because we got the devil's solution, or the solution to the devil. And it's the name of Jesus. And we can cast him out. We can take authority over him. And when we do, all of heaven backs us up as though it's Jesus himself speaking to the devil or dealing with the devil. And so you do have to deal with the devil in life. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't know that. And there's a lot of Christians that know that but don't know that. In other words, they know that, but when they get into those trials and tests in life, when they're getting into those places where the enemy's harassing them many times, exercising authority over the devil, using the name of Jesus to deal with the devil, is last on their list of things to do. A lot of times they're still running to natural things to deal with the crises of life. And I'm talking about folks that have heard this kind of teaching, that know it to be true, that we have authority in the name of Jesus over the devil. Why is that? Because people keep slipping back into the natural, and spiritual things aren't that real to them. We want to live in a place where spiritual things are real to us all the time. We wake up to the reality of the spirit world, to the presence of God. We recognize that the devil is behind the evil things that take place in the world. And we're not paranoid. We're not scared of the devil. We're not worried about him. Why? Because we have the name of Jesus. We take authority over him. But the Bible does say we're not to be ignorant of his devices. We have an enemy. We're not to be ignorant of him. We're to be aware of what he's up to and what he's doing, so that we don't just think it's flesh and blood. It's just a natural problem. There's just physical things that I have to take care of. Just things I have to take care of in the natural. No. We have to take care of spiritual business. I said we have to take care of spiritual business. See, it goes back to what we started off with talking about. We are kingdom rulers. We're to rule and reign throughout all eternity. Know who you are. Know what you've been created for. Know why God's got you here and what he has for you to do. Understand your purpose in life. You are not just here existing in a natural world as just a human being. You're a son, a daughter of the living God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You have been given and have been taught and are being taught the Holy Word of God. You have the name that is above every name to exercise authority over everything that would try to come against you in life. I mean, we need to get excited about the word. I said, we need to get excited about spiritual things. I mean, a little while ago, we were just standing here praising God. We weren't just singing. We weren't being entertaining, amusing ourselves. People love amusing themselves. You know, in the world, people love that. You know, they just play music all the time in the car. You know, they go from the car and they go in and they turn the television set on, or they get on the computer and they look at a video and they do. People are always about amusing themselves. But you and I aren't about amusing ourselves. When we come into church and the music is going, man, we are aware that we are standing before a holy God. We're standing before the Most High God. We have an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got permission to come into his very presence and praise him through the blood of Jesus. We've been made the righteousness of God. This is real stuff. I said, this is real. The kingdom of God is real. We can't see it, but it's here right now. We're a part of it. We're being trained to rule this kingdom, to govern next to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he needs faithful people. He needs people that understand these things and don't just live their life in the flesh, living out of their carnal minds. But everything they do in this natural world, they are recognizing the spiritual that is around them all the time and how the spiritual is influencing the natural. And so, you and I, if we'll do that, then it'll be very easy for us to deal with the devil, exercise our authority, and lay hold of the power of God to deal, or the grace of God to deal with our problems. He's got grace. He's got strength. He's got ability for us when we go through stuff in life. We're not just to go through it in the flesh, struggling, I figure it out, I need some help, and we're just in the flesh trying to plow through problems. No, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. That's how he starts off here. Verse 6, he gives more grace. He gives more grace. I want more grace. How about you? There's more grace to be had. There's more grace to lay hold of. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Who's that? That's the hard-hearted. That's that carnally-minded person, fleshy, just living life according to the natural, according to his ability. The more you recognize you're not to live according to his ability, the more you lay hold of his ability, and that ability that you're laying hold of is called grace. Sometimes people confuse grace and mercy. No, thank God, through his mercy we have grace. And we can obtain that grace. We can obtain the help, the strength that we need to deal with anything in life. So if you need more grace, bless God, what do? Humble yourself. He gives it to who? The humble. Humble yourself under his mighty hand, knowing that he's alive, he's real, he's my strength, he's my help. God is with me. I'm not on my own. I'm not doing this in my own strength. I'm not going to pull and nag at people, pull on people and nag people.
I need help. Nobody wants to help. Nobody ever wants to help me.
Yeah, well, someone does, actually. Someone wants to help you. And it's God. And if you got God's help, you got help. You're going to be all right. See, but we got to take hold of that help. Ask for it. Right? He says here in James in another place, he says, you have not because you ask not. Humble yourself. Stop trying to do it in the flesh. Humble yourself and ask. Ask for more grace. And then it flows right into verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. This is how we get a hold of the grace of God. This is how we get a hold of his ability and his strength. His help in life. We submit to him. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Notice, submitting to God comes before resisting the devil. In fact, you can't resist the devil and what he's doing. He will overwhelm you. He will overtake you. He will defeat you if you don't submit to God. It's submit to God first, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you're in your place, when you're submitted to God, in your place, the devil's going to flee. The devil is going to flee. And in the Amplified Bible says, he'll flee as in terror. He will flee as in terror. He'll be quick to get out of there. You won't have to beg the devil to leave you alone.
Yeah, I tell him to go. He doesn't go. Devil, devil, get out. Devil, get out.
Submit to God. Submit yourself to his authority. Submit yourself to his kingdom. Submit yourself to his rulership. Submit yourself to his word. And when you're submitted to his word, doing things according to his word, not your own will, not according to how you want to do it. Still, so many people live life the way they want to do it. Well, you can do that, but the devil will eat your lunch just about the time you get it all made and packed. He'll come and eat it. And you'll wonder, where is it all going? I don't know, I worked so hard for it, it's already gone. He's a devourer. Especially if you say you follow the Lord Jesus, that he'll just eat everything up. He'll keep you down. He'll keep you oppressed. He'll keep you struggling. He'll keep you all entangled with the affairs of this life. If you live your life according to what you want, the way you see fit. Now, Jesus is not just to be our Savior. He is to be our Lord. He's to be our ruler. In other words, he's the one that we are to obey and follow and do things his way. What things? Everything. All things. All things in our life are to be done his way. So therefore, we're always checking in. We're always checking in with him. We're always saying, well, what does the word say about this situation? Because again, submission to God is submitting to his word. Submitting to his word. What does God's word say about this? You know, if you're deeply interested in submitting to God, then you're going to be deeply interested in his word. If being a kingdom ruler, if fulfilling your purpose in this life, to be prepared for the next life, if that's important to you, then the word of God is going to be important to you. If just doing your own thing is what matters to you and his word is just kind of a supplement to help you along in life, then that's all it is just a little supplement, a little side thing that, you know, we just do. We just add it as a little bonus. If we can read it, we'll read it. If we can't, we can't. Because we're not totally sold out on doing his will, doing everything his way. How many want to do everything his way? Then we submit to him. We submit to God. We submit to God because we want to please him, but we also understand we can't exercise any authority until we come under the authority of God. Till we come under his authority, we can't resist authority. And the truth of the matter is, either we're submitting to God's authority or we're under the devil's authority. We're submitting to him. There's really no neutral. There's no really doing your own thing. People think they're doing their own thing, but what they're actually doing is they're living their life according to the flesh, and it's through the flesh that the devil dominates people's lives. God leads us through our spirit. The devil will do it through our flesh. So if you're committed to following your flesh, you have committed yourself to submitting to the devil. And so if you're submitted to the devil, of course, he doesn't have to obey you when you use authority over him, because you're really not over him, because you've submitted under him. See, and a lot of Christians, this is where they're at. They are submitted to the enemy. If you're not submitted to God, you're submitted to the devil. If you're not submitted to God, you're in rebellion to God. We need to be in rebellion towards the devil and what he's doing. But we're not in rebellion towards God. But it's either the one or the other. A lot of people don't realize that. If you're not submitting, now some people are submitting to the devil and rebelling against God ignorantly. They don't know any better. But if we're children of God, then we should be learning what's better. We should be learning his way. Learning to do things his way and not just staying ignorant. God will cover us for a period of time when we're ignorant, when we're just newborn babies, you know, spiritual babies. As newborn babies, you know, he'll give us some extra protection and grace and he'll cover us, you know, extend his mercies. But as time goes on, he expects us to grow. He expects us to learn of him and learn what's right and what's wrong. And what's our responsibilities. How to take authority over the enemy and how to live a spiritual life. He expects that of us. God's expecting us to grow. He's expecting things from us. Just like after he delivered those talents to those folks, to one 5, to another 2. When he came back, he was expecting something from them. He was expecting a return on what he had invested in them. God's expecting a return on what he has invested in you through the new birth. You got born again. His seed is in you. When he comes back, he expects to see some things. He expects to see some growth, some development. That's what he's looking for from you and I. And if he comes back and you don't find it, well, we didn't read it. We didn't read on it in that parable of the talents. But to the one that was given one, and he just hid it, he just buried it in his earthen vessel, we could say. He just didn't do anything with it. He just kept it down, down, down in his heart. He got severely rebuked by the Lord. We don't want to be severely rebuked. We want to be praised. Don't we? We want to be commended. We want him to commend us. We want to hear, well done. That must be a terrible thing, to stand before the throne of God and be rebuked by Jesus himself. I mean, it must be ecstasy to stand there and have him praise you like that in front of everybody and commend you, saying, well done, and promote you. That's got to be amazing. But equally so, it must be terribly dreadful to have stood before him, to stand before him and be rebuked by him and say, let's look at your life. What have you been doing with what I gave you? What did you do with the word that I sowed in your heart? All the truths that you were taught, what did you do with it? See, there's a day of reckoning. God's gonna ask us these things. And we, when we stand before him, we want to have smiles on our face. You know, we were just talking about, I think it was Wednesday night, how the Apostle Paul, he knew that he had run his race well. He knew that he had been faithful, and he knew there was a crown now laid up for him that the Lord was going to give to him. He knew that. So that tells me you and I can know. We can know whether we're doing right or we're doing wrong, whether we're in the flow or we're out of the flow. We can know. The Bible says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So we know what to do. And if we'll do what we know to do, if we'll do the good that we know to do, then he will teach us more and we'll grow in our knowledge and we'll know what we need to know. And as we grow and continue to grow in God, the day will come where we will know if we have finished the race, if we've done what he's called us to do. Now, some might say, well, I got off track. I haven't always been saved, or I got off track. You know, I was saved, and then I got off track. Well, where are you now? He's a redeemer. You might enter this race late. You might have gotten out off course and been running out here in the mountains, but now you've gotten back on track. And if you're back on track, run, stretch, strive, work, fight. Be faithful from now on, and the Lord will reward you. And the things of the past will be washed in his precious blood. Washed from your life, washed out of remembrance. Those things won't be remembered anymore. It's what you're going to do now with the grace of God. This isn't something to just play with. This is something to take serious. He's given us a mandate. He expects us to rise up. So when it comes to the devil, there comes a point where he says, you deal with the devil. You deal with the devil. And if you're just going to be fleshy and you're not going to learn your authority and exercise your authority and stand in faith, you're not going to do that, then the devil's going to mow right over you. And the Lord will let it happen. I said the Lord will let it happen. Because he's expecting things from us. He would never let anything bad happen to me. Well, he's given you everything you need to keep you from the path of the destroyer. But there comes a point in your spiritual walk with God that he expects you to now use his word to stay on that path of life, to stay on course with him. And if you don't, you will suffer the consequences. Now, nobody wants to hear that unless you really are serious about wanting to be submitted to him and to fulfill his plan for your life. Then you want to hear that. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. I mean, I could just sit here and say, God is love, and he's watching over you, you know, like a bee watches over the honey, and you're his honey, and he's got you, you know. And I can give you a lot of sweeties. But the truth of the matter is, God holds us responsible for the things that he gives us. To whom much is given, much is required. So we don't want to just take what he's given to us, cast it aside like the guy with the one talent, because there are consequences. There are consequences in this life, and then there's consequences in the life to come. So we want to make sure that we're faithful. Can you say amen? And so we submit to God. We submit to God, we submit to the word, and therefore the devil fears us. He's afraid of us. He'll run from us. It's in terror. Hallelujah. Ooh, it just gets me excited. For far too long, he's terrorized us. Right? Far too long. I grew up such fear and such worry. I think most people do. Fear, fear, fear. We're taught fear at a young age. It's nice to be able to raise kids of our own and teach them how to resist fear as a child, you know. Keep fear out of the house. We don't have fear in this house, you know. But a lot of folks didn't grow up that way, you know. And so they grew up to fear, make things worse. They even go to amusement parks to be entertained by fear. And then they go rent horror movies. And they watch horror movies. They watch fear in action. They just eat up fear. And so people are just controlled by fear. But thank God you and I don't have to be controlled by fear. We can live and operate by faith, faith in God. No fear, no fear. Casting out all fear, walking in faith. Can you say amen? So submitting to God is submitting to his word. And that's both the written word and his spoken word. His spoken word. How many people know we have the Holy Spirit who will speak things to us? He will speak things to us. He will give utterance this morning. He's giving utterance right now. He'll speak to you. He'll give you a revelation of what church you're supposed to be in. He'll give you a revelation on all kinds of things in life. I mean, this wasn't my idea to come here and start this church. God spoke that to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew and recognized his voice on the inside. He said, go apostle a church in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, that's the words he chose to use. Before that, he said some other things to me. And he told me what Bible school to go to. I wasn't looking to go to Bible school. But he spoke those things to me. So he'll speak things to our hearts that we can't find in the written word of God. So, you know, like I always say, the written word is his general will for our life, and then the Spirit of God will speak the specific will to us in life, specific things that we need to know and understand. But if we see something in the written word of God and it answers our question, maybe somebody they come to me and they say, Pastor, I need to know about this, that, and the next thing. And man, a scripture immediately comes to my mind and say, no problem, here's what the word says about it. I give them scripture for their situation, and they look at me and they go, oh, well, I'll pray about that. Happy people know you don't have to pray about what God said. I'll pray about it. Like, you know, I'm going to pray about whether I should do that or not. You don't pray about whether you should do what he said in his word. And he's already said a bunch of things to us. And a lot of times he'll answer a lot of our questions in life right here in the Bible. And once he does that, to sit there and say, well, I'll pray about that, really is rebellion. That's being rebellious. That's being resistant towards his word. We don't want to resist the word of God. Once we see it, we believe it, we receive it, we give ourselves to it. We submit to it. We submit to it. We don't sit there and have to pray about it. Well, I'll get to that. You know, you ask people, say, you're doing everything God's told you to do? Well, almost. Well, you know some things you're not doing right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if I ask people in this room right now, you know, is there anything you're not doing right? You know, you need to get it right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, when are you going to do it? Well, I'm good. I'm working on it. I'm working on it, Pastor. Well, what you're working on is rebellion. Because we obey. We submit. Yeah, I'd like to see that in the military, you know. You stand there before your drill sergeant. And he tells you, he gives you an order, tells you to do something. And then, you know, you just kind of go halfway. You didn't quite do it fully. And he looks at you and said, I said, get down there and give me 20. I want 20 push-ups. Do a couple and you kind of pause, kind of sit back, kind of maybe do a couple more. That's not going to go over well. Do I have anybody in the military or was in the military? Not going to go over well, Jules? Not going to go over well. It's not going to go well for you. It's rebellion. Now, this is what I want you to do. You tell them exactly what you want them to do. And then they do something else or they kind of do it, but they don't really fully do it. Happy people know not fully doing it is not doing it. which is disobedience, which is not submitting. And it is submitting. It's not submitting to God, but it is submitting to the devil. Now, you don't want to submit to the devil because he's not nice. He's a killer. He comes to steal. He's going to rip you off. He's going to steal from you. If he can, he's going to kill you. And he'll destroy you. And he can't go over here and claim Psalm 9. I claim all the promises of Psalm 91. Well, Psalm 91 starts off with, to those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who are under his shadow, submitted under him. If you're submitted under him, then all these great promises will come. Psalm 91, bless God, no evil will befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. No devil will come near your dwelling. If you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But if you're out here doing your own thing, and then you say, I'm going to claim Psalm 91, it might not work. Probably won't. Devil doesn't have to submit to you because you're not submitted to God. It's submit to God first, then you can resist the devil. Then you can speak to him with all confidence and put him on the run. Now, if that gets you nervous at all, then quite obviously you're not confident in your walk with God. And you need to be nervous and get that corrected now. How long does it take to get it corrected? Give me 20 push-ups. How long does it take to get that corrected? Yes, sir! Boom, we're done. Sir, yes, sir! Bang them out. Do it! If something's not right, man, something Pastor's saying today is kind of getting me a little nervous. I feel a little uneasy about the devil now eating my lunch. Well, why are you nervous? You need to find out. Take that serious. Say, Lord, now I feel uneasy. Something's not right. I need to know what that uneasiness is in my spirit. What is that? Help me to know what that is. Forgive me. Immediately, some things will come to your mind. Are you spending that time in the Word? Are you really seeking me? Are you putting me first place? What about that idol over here? Pastor kind of hits on that thing quite a bit. What do you think about that? What are we doing with that? A lot of times it's right there. I remember I said to God one time, I said, Lord, am I doing everything right? You know, am I on target here? Is there anything that I need to get right with you? And then this thought came, is there? That question came right back at me, is there? And I knew that was him asking me. In other words, you tell me. God's looking at me and saying, you tell me. Is there something that's not right? Don't you think you should know if something's not right? Whether you're missing it and doing something wrong? You tell me. Well, I mean, I'm good, good, good. There's this one area right here. Well, fix it. Yes, sir. You know what to do. Am I really spending all that time with you? Yep, fix it. And then you get it fixed. If you don't get it fixed, you're in rebellion. If you're in rebellion, you're not submitted to God. You're submitted to the devil. If you're submitted to the devil, you can't take authority over him. He won't listen to you. Dangerous place to be. Not where I want to live. Don't you want to walk in the promises of God? Don't you want to walk in the blessings of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. And fulfill our destiny. Fulfill what he's created us for. That's where we're going to live our lives fulfilled. Fulfilled. And live in true peace. And the enemy's always going to come. He's going to try to mess with us, but you could resist him. And you could know. No weapon formed against me will prosper. This is what the Bible says. And I live by this book. I don't just occasionally. I live for the Word of God. Do you live for the Word? I want to live for the Word of God. Live for the Word of God. You know, you just put it in you and it starts coming out of you and everything. It's an amazing thing. You know, if you're always looking to the Word, you don't have to always be carrying around. I'm not always walking around like this. All right. Well, let's get the car ready here. Let's put some gas in that car. And that'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it? Walking around, I just love the Word. I can't take my eyes off it. Well, bless God, it's in my heart, see. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, you put it in there, and then it's and you're always looking for it. You're always looking for the Spirit of God to help you. He'll bring scripture to your remembrance. He'll speak revelation to you as you need it, and he'll guide you through life. But your attitude is, I live by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... This is what Jesus said. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live by it. We don't just use it again. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We got to get that right. Well, I'm not really doing that. Well, fix it now. Fix it today. Just make that adjustment on the inside right now. Say, I'm going to live by the word of God. I'm going to find out what God says about it in every situation. What does he say about it? I'm going to get to know him. I'm going to make sure I download that word in my heart. I'm amazed how many Christians have been around for years as Christians. Years as Christians. Never read through the entire Bible. And I'm amazed how people lie to themselves and say they do when they didn't. Oh, I've read through the whole Bible. I said, no, you haven't. Well, I kind of did. No. You've heard a lot. You've looked at a lot, but you haven't read through the whole thing. Read through the Bible. I think that would be a good thing to do. Christianity 101, right here. Read through your Bible. Say, I'm not sure what to read. Start at the beginning. Read on through. It's not complicated. Well, I'm never really sure what to read. Pick up where you left off. Just pick up where you left. If you don't have anything specific, pick up where you left off. Let's get this thing in us so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance. He can't bring to our remembrance something that we never heard. Read it all. Eat it all up. Just love the word of God. Live by it. Live by it. It's a decision. Love is a decision. I just don't have the love feelings for the word like you do. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. You choose this. That's what people do in their relationships. I love you. I don't love you anymore. I loved you, but I don't love you anymore. I hate you. It's amazing. It's all by feelings. We don't live by feelings. We make decisions, right? We choose. We choose. Things aren't chosen for us by our feelings. Our feelings don't choose for us who we're going to marry, who we're going to be with. These are decisions we make. And we make them prayerfully, being led by the Spirit of God, making sure that we're in agreement with him. And people say God told them who to marry, but, you know, I doubt it highly. I know I begged him to tell me who to marry when I was looking to know who to marry, but he would never tell me. And I don't believe he wants to tell you who to marry. I believe that's something that has to come from you. You've got to make a decision whether you're going to love this person or not. That's a decision you have to make. Now, God will give you a warning and a check and say no. Well, he does, even with his word. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, I'll pray about that. No, you're in rebellion. You're in rebellion. Well, I really like them, and I believe they can get saved. No, they're an unbeliever. You don't get married to them. Pretty simple. Don't be unequally yoked together. But yet people still do that. So that's disobeying the word of God. You're not submitted to God, and it'll cost you. It'll cost you. It'll cause you problems. Then you'll ask God, God bless our marriage. In fact, there's even a lot of unsaved people, men, that'll tell their wives they need to submit to them. But that's another message we don't have time for today. We don't want to go off on wives submitting to husbands just yet. But we'll get there. Just stick around. Sundays. You know where to be. Be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God's teaching us. Get all the preconceived ideas about it out of your mind. And God will teach us and show us things. We got to understand submission and authority. We got to understand submission and resisting the devil. Submitting to God, resisting the devil. We got to understand this because we've been created to be kingdom rulers. And we got to know how these things operate, how these things work. So he's training us and he's helping us and we're learning. Can you say amen? Say, I'm growing in my faith. We need to be growing. Need to be getting better. Need to be getting stronger. We need to be growing in the grace of God. So we examine ourselves. Thank God we can. Holy Spirit will help us. We examine ourselves. Where am I, Lord? Am I in the flow with you? Am I obeying you? Is there anything out of line? And then hear what he says. Is there? Examine yourself and look and see. Yeah, I know to do this to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it to him and sin. I know to do this. I know to do that. Well, do it. Do what you know to do. That's what you're responsible for. Do what you know to do. And you'll know what you need to know. Submission can start right now. Forget about the past. I don't want to hear about the past. What are you going to do right now? I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to come into obedience to his word. I'm coming under his authority right now. And when I walk out of here, I want you to know right now I got authority over the devil. Don't you walk out of here today and let the devil mess with you and you're going to start going, oh, man, it's the devil. And I don't know if he's going to listen to me. I mean, should I even bother using my authority? Well, what did you do at church today? Well, I repented of being rebellious and I submitted myself to God. Take your authority over the devil and put him on the run. You might mess up, you might stumble and fall, but you don't accept that from yourself. You know when you do wrong. And what do you do when you do wrong? You repent. You say, Heavenly Father, forgive me, I missed it. I shouldn't have talked like that. That was bad. Oh, I feel that Holy Spirit. I know I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. I repent for that right now in Jesus' name. And you just take authority over right there on the spot. I repent for it right there on the spot. And guess what? You're cleansed right there on the spot. You're forgiven right there on the spot. And guess what? You're reinstated. You're under his authority right there on the spot. And guess what? The devil ain't got no place in you. Now, you have to have confidence in that. You know, we're not talking about being perfect in this just yet. We're growing in it. We're being perfected. We're being perfected. But as we do what we know to do and take responsibility for our actions, you are submitting to God. So the devil has to flee from you. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.